You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Junghoon Wang wins his third European Tour title at the first extra hole of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters.
I got nervous like crazy at the back nine. I missed every iron shot, but I think my chipping saved me this week. It's a really great week for me. I'm so happy about it.
We'll hear more from the talented young South Korean in a few minutes' time after he beat Joachim Lagergren and Jakob Anzel in a playoff. We'll also review all the action from Doha and look ahead to this season's final Desert Swing event, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined this week by two-time European Tour winner and Ryder Cup stalwart in terms of the backup team, Jamie Spence. How are you?
Hello, Robbie. How are you?
Yeah, Desert Swing going well.
Not bad. You just flown back from Qatar, I see.
Yes, I've still got sand in my hair from the amount that's in the atmosphere.
Well, at least you've got some hair.
Well, thank you very much. Tommy Fleetwood and now Junghoon Wang, who wins in Doha.
Yeah, two great events. Looking forward to the next one as well. Never disappoints in Dubai. Wang looks an incredible player, doesn't he? Won twice last year. Let's see how he kicks on from here. We've had some false dawns with some of the Asian players before and Koreans as well. But he does look the real deal, I have to say. I can't see a weakness in his department. He's very, very good round the greens. He holds some putts. And it's great to see Tommy Fleetwood back on the scene as well after his win in Abu Dhabi. Missed the cut this week. Never easy to follow on, though, Rob, is it? When you win an event, not easy.
It happens a lot. Junghoon Wang, who won in Morocco and in Mauritius last spring, with, I'm not sure if it's the claw, the pencil, the paddle, whatever you call the right-hand grip on that putter, he had only just gone to it before those two wins. We found that out this week. He'd only just gone to that grip, and then he has the two wins, and he's kept it ever since, obviously, and he looked pretty assured in the greens.
Well, the putts he held in Morocco when he won on the last green to get in the playoff.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. And then again in the playoff as well, he just looks like he's going to hold. I mean, his putt to win the event outright in Doha on the last green was right in the middle of the hole, wasn't it? Just come up short. Quite a few players struggled to get it up to the hole, actually, from short of the hole there. Can be a bit grainy, the greens out there in Doha, but wonderful performance, especially when you've got that lead. You never know what to do, really. You had a three-shot lead going into the last round. You play safe or you just want to keep going at it. The scoring was very good yesterday, so it was a difficult spot he was in.
Well, the latest starters got the worst of the wind, but he started with two birdies, and Jakob Anzel, who he was playing with, started with three birdies in a row and reduced the deficit to two shots. It really was game on then, with other players who had been out there earlier, Jordan Smith and the like, making a bit of a run.
And Lorenzo Vera as well. He'll be kicking himself this morning, bogey in the last two holes.
What he'll kick himself for is, at the 15th, 320 to the water, downwind, and he hit driver in the water, straight through the fairway.
That's just unnecessary. It's just a mental error.
Mental error.
He's aggressive. He's in aggressive mode, but you've got to control the adrenaline when you get
still
up there.
You've got to hit the right shot.
You've got to hit the right shot. I'm sure a lot of the players look back and think, I wish I did this and wish I did that, but you can't.
But
you get one go.
We had a European Tour record set on the Friday night with nine players tied for the lead. That broke the previous best, which is in 1997 in Sweden. So to have nine players leading at the halfway stage, Jamie, that either shows you how the golf course brought everybody together or how close the standard is now.
It was just difficult, wasn't it? I think the only reason for that is the conditions. It was tough to shoot a really low score. Players getting up and down, making their pars as well. I just think the golf course brought everybody together. But Saturday and Sunday, the weather was better and you had some better scores.
Well, Wang was one of those players that was tied at 8 under par going into round three. And then he shoots 65, Jamie. You know, he had to do something special to separate himself. And he did by three shots.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? It's a tricky course, Qatar. It's always windy. Difficult par threes, I think, there. Whenever I played there, the par threes are tough. And it's demanding on the second shots as well to get the ball pin high. Not easy to get the ball pin high. He was playing quite firm as well. So, terrific score. But we highlighted his excellence, really, Wang, in the Ned Bank, didn't we, in that round of golf he played there.
Oh, the third round, 64.
Incredible round of golf in the win there on a very difficult golf course. So, yeah, he's just doing everything right at the moment.
So, 72nd hole, Jakob Anzel couldn't make a birdie on the par 5, which was downwind and reachable, and Wang couldn't make a birdie. Joachim Lagergren waited in the clubhouse. Now, I think when he finished, he probably felt with those three holes, 16, 17, 18, that he just hadn't quite done enough, but turned out he got in the playoff.
Yeah, he probably felt he was one shy, but I think the bogey that Wang made on 17 just brought everybody back into it. And that last hole, well, the water looms on the left-hand side. And if you're knocking the bunkers on the right, you left yourself with quite a very difficult bunker shot, long bunker shot as well. So It's not an easy. It's a hole that you can attack on a Thursday and Friday, maybe, or even a Saturday. But Sunday, when you're right in there, not so easy to get the ball on the green.
Well, they hit three great drives, and Jacob van Zyl went first from about 25 yards short of the other two and whipped a wood straight onto the green.
No choice, did he? He knew that they had to go for it, so he had no choice. And it's always better to go first as well. Hit a great shot as well, van Zyl, put the pressure on the other two.
Joachim bunker right, yeah. And Wang just flushed it straight at the flag, but of course on that line it couldn't hold the green, so he went long. Surprised really that Jacob van Zyl three-putted, because he looked favourite.
Well, of course, being on the green is favourite, but it wasn't an easy two-putt, as he proved coming down the hill there. It's quite a severe slope on that green as well. But Wang's short game, you know, there's not many better at the moment. He looks very accomplished around the green, especially when he's chipping. And as I said, with his putting, he's just got the confidence of youth, Robert, I think.
Well, he got a break because he was against the grandstand into a drop zone, yeah. Quite a nice line and a better line to the flag than yeah. he originally had. So, yeah. You know, always you get a little break if you win. And
yeah, these things can work for you and work against you as well. If the nearest dropping zone could have put him in a worse position, but it didn't. It helped him in this case.
Do you think he learns more about himself because he won, getting sucked back into the pack? It wasn't like he streaked away with a 66 in the final day. He actually had to grind and pull something out of the bag.
Absolutely. Went behind and then he came again. To win like that shows a lot of mental strength. And, you certainly learn a lot from that. And you think of the wins he's had, they've not been easy. Two playoffs now. So, he's got a lot of resilience to his game.
And you mentioned Michael Lorenzo Vera, very good player. His birthday was on Saturday. They got a big cake made for him, and it looked like he was going to give himself the best birthday present of all.
So eat more cake, is that what you're saying?
Well, no. At our age, Jamie, it's eat no cake, not more cake.
He's a brilliant player,
yeah.
Lorenzo Vera, but he's very frustrating as well, isn't he? He's had a very in-and-out career.
He has.
But he's shown flashes of brilliance,
yep.
Hasn't he?
But he makes the eagle at 16, you think, right, go on, my
go
son.
On. Yeah, exactly right.
And then two bogeys.
Yeah, whether it's nerves or he's getting ahead of himself, who knows? Because he's been an accomplished player and a winner on the Challenge Tour, yet to really do it on the main tour. But as I say, he does show flashes of brilliance at times. You're waiting for him to win. I'm sure he is as well.
Well, let's hear from Junghun Wang now, who found a way to win despite being caught by the chasing pack down the stretch.
I got nervous like crazy at the back nine. I missed every iron shot, but I made save par, everything. So I think my chipping saved me this week. Just don't want to get any pressure this year. Want to learn from the other player. I want to keep winning. I hope it's really feel fantastic for me. And it's a really great week for me. I'm so happy about it.
Very nice kid, by the way. I mean, he's only just into his 20s, already won three times now on the European Tour. I think there's a stellar career ahead for him.
Well, he's already to win three times in the time he's been out there is a wonderful feat anyway. So, yeah, you look at Wai Yang and KJ Choi and players like that, you'd be looking up to them and he looks like he's going to be the next one.
The Korean number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the world's top 50 at this point, 39th, which means Masters and the WGCs and everything else.
Said that was his dream, and that's come along very quickly for him in his golfing life. So, yeah, he's got a lot to look forward to.
Youngest player in the top 50, and he seems to, Jamie, be very modest. He kind of plays everything down a little bit.
That's a good policy, I think, because you're never that good and you're never that bad in golf. And if you start believing the press and the publicity, you can lose your game a little bit because you stop that work ethic. But what the Korean players have, and I saw this at the Olympics especially with the lady players out there, their work ethic, the Koreans, is incredible, especially in the short games. And it really does show, especially in the ladies' game, but now we're seeing a lot more of the men come through.
Well, at 21 years and 144 days, he became the third youngest player in European Tour history to win their first three titles, behind Mateo Manassero and Sevi Ballesteros. Sandy Lal and Sergio Garcia are the only other players to win their first three European Tour events before their 22nd birthday. Quite a feat. Wang, in his 29th event, is the fastest to win their first three European Tour titles since Tiger Woods, who did it in 12 events. Now tied with Wai Yang as the most prolific South Korean winner in European Tour history for now, but he's going to press on, Jamie.
Absolutely, Rob. He's going the right way. Who's to say where he's going to end up? And I'm going to keep him in my fantasy team for a long time.
There's certainly nobody clever enough in this box to say where he will or will not get to.
Correct.
But his graph is going up in a steep direction, that's for sure. Now, one of those who Wang overcame in the playoff was Sweden's Joachim Lagergren, whose 6-under par final round included an impressive run of birdies.
I think I made 5 in a row out there. So I played a lot of good golf. I would have taken 6-under before the day, definitely. So played well, lost in playoff. I knew before I was hitting, before we went to the tee box there, that you need to make birdie here to win it. And I was hitting a poor 4-iron down in that bunker. So it's a tough shot from there.
Good player, Joachim Lagergren. I still go back to the Made in Denmark. He's in the last group with Thomas Peters, and he had a run of birdies to get right alongside Thomas, and then he sprayed it left into the rubbish, lost his ball. 7 when he was at the cusp of keeping his card. That would have taken care of it. But it shows you what sort of a player he is, because after that disappointment, he went on to have a really good finish to the season and establish himself on tour, and now he's off and running.
You're always going to have adversity in this game. That's a difficult hole at 18th, Made in Denmark, at the Himmerland Club, by the way. And when you're under the cosh like he was, first time really he's been in contention, you can understand that, but he's come back from it. It's how you react in this game. Yeah. He's reacted the right way, and I love what he said there. Had to make birdie in the playoff. He went out there with a positive thought.
Well, the other player to lose in the playoff was Jaco van Zyl of South Africa, who saw positives in his form despite bitter disappointment in Doha.
Yeah, well, definitely. You know, it's a good start to the season and a little bit more fireworks than last year, so hopefully it can continue.
It's one he's let go, really, there, van Zyl. I mean, maybe he had a go at that Eagle putt, Rob, a little bit too much on the last to win. But
he hit a lot of good shots,
he
didn't he?
He's got a lovely rhythm to his,
yeah,
to his
lovely
swing.
Rhythm.
And 5 runner-ups now, so he's getting close. You just got to keep putting yourself in there. It's not easy to win.
And he's won bunches of times on the South African Tour.
He has, yeah. He's just got to carry that winning formula somehow into a European Tour event.
Well, runner-up in the European Tour for the 5th time. He's now been under par in all 8 of his career rounds at Doha Golf Club, with 2 consecutive bogey-free rounds on Friday and Saturday. That's impressive. Now, what about France's Michael Lorenzo Vera? He had a share of the lead late in the round, but finished bogey, to miss the playoff by a shot.
Well, that was cool until the end. Well, I've played a very solid game of golf and the putter was very hot, so I'm very disappointed by the finish, but at least I managed to put myself into position again.
Good player. MLV, they call him around the scores. MLV's going well.
MLV, yeah.
I had to think about that. MLV, who is MLV? Michael Lorenzo Vera. He had a tremendous run. I mean, it was a difficult day, Jamie. Even though you saw some 66s and stuff, it was a very windy, difficult day.
You were there, Rob.
Yeah,
so I'm
going to
take your word for it. I've played it quite a few times myself, so I know the wind can pick up there. I think the bogey in 17 put him under pressure. He obviously thought, I've really got to make birdie at the last now. Just put the squeeze on him a little bit. And the 17th's a tricky hole. It's a very narrow green, not easy to get on. But, you've got to look back and say, I've had a really good week here. Put some money on the board. Put some Race to Dubai points. Good start to the season, but back in mind thinking there's one of my got away.
3 bogeys the last 4 holes.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's hard to win when you do that. But again, a lot of promise there from Michael. And also tied 4th was Thomas Aiken, another player who was level with the leaders in the back 9 despite the challenging wind.
Made the back 9 certainly very interesting. Unfortunately, didn't hit too many great shots on the back 9, but had some good saves and hit some really good putts. And really just the last 2 putts on 17 and 18, I hit 2 really good putts and I don't know how they missed the hole. It's another top 5, obviously looking for that win, but you know, you can't be too complacent about a top 5, but obviously never nice to end that way. So hopefully get ourselves in that position again next week and close it off.
Thomas Aiken, consistent play, plays with that hard left to right shape, and you get a lot out of your game when you do that.
Well, he's a good player this time of the year with the South African summer. He's banging form, isn't he? He always plays well in the South African events, Thomas, and brings his form here. And another one complaining of the last few holes, just let a few go. And that's tournament golf for you.
And Ryder Cup player Rafa Cabrera-Bello continued his good early season form with a tied 6th finish.
Overall, it's just been a good week. Just disappointing of not having been able to be fighting till the end for the title. But, I mean, it's just I couldn't get anything going on the greens today. This year I'm playing good too. Abu Dhabi, I started really good the first 2 days. Today, I mean, this week it's nice to finish top 10 again. Looking forward to next week as well, continuing the desert swing.
Just keeps playing well, doesn't he, Rafa?
Yeah, good player.
Consistent.
I think he just needs to learn, just to improve actually, when he doesn't, not quite on his game, because he does hit a lot of greens in reg. That scrambling game needs to get a little bit better. He's got Colin Byrne on the bag now.
Colin's a good lad.
He caddied for me. That's how old Colin is.
Rafa hit a magnificent second shot. But hardly anybody found that 10th green in 2 into the breeze. And he hit a wood onto the green. And it just trickled over the back. And he was slightly heels down, toes up with the stance. But he had to kind of manipulate the club a little bit and didn't make 4.
And I think that's the error of his game.
That's, you know,
he's
those
getting
one
better.
Or 2 shots.
Yeah.
Exactly. It sort of takes 1 or 2 shots in a week of 4 rounds.
It's the rhythm of the round, Rob, isn't it? You just get up and down there, you just keep it going.
When he does get his next win, there might be, you know, a few in a run then.
Well, he hits it great, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays some beautiful stuff. He really does. OK, Jamie, top 10 from the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, please.
Tour score winner Nathan Kimsey. Top 10 for Nathan. Finished in 9th with Kiridek Afibamra. He's playing well at the moment. Jordan Smith looks ever impressive in 6th with Nacho Elvira, which we tipped Rob to watch this year. So two promising players there. Rafa Cabrera-Bow shares sixth place with the two up-and-coming players. Michael Lorenzo-Veer at fourth, along with Thomas Aitken. Van Zyl is at second with Lagergren, but our champion is Junghun Wang.
And Chris Paisley made a hole-in-one during round two. His prize was $150,000 to spend with Qatar Duty Free. Gosh, that's quite a lot to spend in the Duty Free shop.
God, your wife would be happy with that. What? Your Duty Free bags coming. What would you have in that?
Whoa, 150. Well, they do have sort of flash motor cars in there.
You couldn't get that in a bag, Rob.
You couldn't get that in your hand luggage, but you might get it shipped. $150,000 in...
Oh, that'd be happy days there.
Oh, happy... Well, they got a lot of jewellery and stuff there.
Yeah.
Watches.
It'd encourage you to go back, wouldn't it?
Roly-poly, get a roly-poly on my wrist. Lovely jubbly. Fancy race to the buyer tips. Dan Roebuck went for Bernd Wiesberger. No stranger in this box. You thought he'd go well. 37th. Gordon Brand Jr. went for Alex Noren, and he tied 21st. In the fancy race to Dubai, Mark Burton won the most points this week. His team, the mighty Boosh, was captained by Junghun Wang and included three more of the Doha top 10. Carolyn Sykes still leads the overall standings. I still top our very own race
lucky,
to Dubai
show. Lucky.
Our very own race to Dubai show mini league, but Paul Eales got the most points this week thanks to his choice of Wang as captain. If you think you can do better than just join us, go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour, pick your fancy team, and then under the private league tab, enter the pin, capital F, small c, 2, small s, capital C, capital Y, 2, small j, capital B, 1. And you too can be part of the MI5 encryption team. Sorry, the Sean Ryder Cup team. Keep an eye on the europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Amiga Dubai Desert Classic. Jamie, top 10 the race to Dubai standings, please.
No, I want to talk about fantasy, Robert.
How do you?
How on earth are you beating me in that? I just can't work it out.
Well, I think...
And Paul Eales, Junghun Wang is his captain.
Yeah,
great pick.
It was a tremendous pick, really.
Yeah.
From a man who's...
I've had two winners and you're still beating me.
Yeah.
Not that I'm worried about it.
No, really. It's a team game.
No, it's not.
It's
no,
a team
no,
game.
I've just got to beat you.
What's your ambition for the year? To beat Robert Lee in the fantasy league?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it. You've put it out there. But please, join us if you want to and we'll carry on with the crack. Jamie, please, the race to Dubai top 10.
In 10th is Joachim Lagergren. 9th, Thomas Aitken. Andrew Doat is in 8th. Graham Storm, he's played the most of the top 10. He's played 5 events, Graham. He's in 7th. Jaco van Zyl is 6th. Pablo Larrazábal is in 5th. Rafa Cabrera-Bao, the ever-consistent Rafa Cabrera-Bao, is in 4th. Sam Brazel in 3, the Hong Kong champ. Junghun Wang's at 2. And Tommy Fleetwood is our number one.
Now, in other news, the Q School is moving. November's qualifying school final stage will be held at the Lumine Golf and Beach Club in Tarragona near Barcelona. Meanwhile, the European Challenge Tour will feature match play golf for the first time in 18 years. The Match Play 9 is one of two new events on the 2017 Road to Oman schedule, which includes 26 tournaments in 20 countries and the Open to Portugal, which is a dual-ranking event with the European Tour. And there's three new tournaments on the European Senior Tour calendar for 2017. Jamie Spence is going, woohoo! Which also sees the Paris Legends Championship at Le Golf National exactly a year before the 2018 Ryder Cup. Go to europeantour.com to see the full list of announced events on both the European Senior and Challenge Tours. Spain's Jon Rahm won the Farmers Insurance Open to claim his maiden PGA Tour title at just his 12th attempt. The 22-year-old sunk a 60-foot putt for an eagle on the 18th to complete a final round of 65, widening his winning margin to 3 over Charles Howell III and Pan Cheng Sheng. And the Spaniard was asked afterwards whether this victory came out of the blue.
I wanted to win this season, especially after having a little bit of a taste of what it feels like in Congressional and RBC in Canada. I try to, you know, be really in control of my emotions and my thoughts and just make sure that I didn't take anything for granted. I know I had to go get it, and I was really conscious about it on 17 and 18, and that's probably what happened. I believe it's a Spanish mindset. I feel like we are all pretty aggressive, right? Jose, Sevi, Sergio, even Alvaro Quiroz, people like Jimenez. We're evolving pretty aggressive. I think that's the mindset, probably thanks to Sevi, right? My idol has always been Sevi. Obviously, I grew up on Tiger and Phil era, right? Respecting and admiring both players for what they've done. But my idol, it's always been Sevi. I've always trying to emulate what he inspired on the golf course. Not play like him, because it's a little different to the way I like to play, but trying to inspire and express the same emotions he used to.
Speaks very well, Jon Rahm. What a talent. Watched him play last year. Very weak grip the way he plays. Three-quarter backswing and didn't half give it a cuff.
Yeah, watched it last night. Great finish. Wonderful shot into the last. Took it on, and then the putty hole was just Sevi-esque. great to hear him talk about Spanish legends of the game and how are they, what they mean to him. Just want him to come and play a little bit in Europe, just join the European Tour. I'm sure Thomas Bjorn will be calling him, be one of the first people on the phone to him, I should think.
Well, if he's that Seve, Oli, Sergio conscious, if he's that much into the Spanish psyche, you've got to think he'll want to play in that Ryder Cup side.
He said he wants to get in the side, so, you know, he's got to respect the fact that he's got to become a member, and we welcome him.
I look forward to seeing him play some more. I thought he was absolutely brilliant last year, and now he's got to win, and in some style, 65 around the South Course at Torrey Pines, a difficult test, and pulled away.
Yeah, and the greens were torturing the players with the slopes on them, and they were really struggling on the greens to hold putts, especially Justin. Justin left a few out there.
Justin Rose finished fourth. Good finish for him. And Tiger Woods missed the cut, but it's very early in his rehab.
He's going to have to go through a little bit of golfing agony, I think, Rob, to get back to where he wants to be. He's going to have to fight it out and dig out a few scores. When you haven't played for that length of time, no matter who you are, when you get a car in your hand, you only got one go at it, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. Jamie, please read out the top 10 in the world rankings.
Well, talking to Justin Rose, he's actually 11th in the world ranking, but Alex Noren in the top 10. Patrick Reed is at 9, Justin Thomas at 8, Adam Scott at 7. The only change is that Spieth's gone to 6 and Matsuyama gone to 5. Henrik Stenson in Dubai this week at 4, Dustin Johnson at 3, Rory at 2, and Jason Day is still the number 1.
He missed the cut as well last week, by the way, Jason Day.
Hasn't been playing a lot of golf, Day, has he? Yeah. Had a few injuries with his back. Yeah, it'd be good to see him back out on the golf course on a more regular basis.
And don't forget, Wang up to 39th in the world.
Yeah, he's getting better and better.
So on to this week's action now, and the final tournament in this season's Desert Swing is the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. And one country that's producing some brilliant players is Belgium. Thomas Detry, Thomas Peters, and the grandfather of Belgian golf now joins us live from the range, Nicolas Coulsarts. How are you, Nicolas?
Did you just call me grandfather?
Yeah, the grandfather of Belgian golf.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny to say so because it kind of really feels a bit like that. I've been out here for 15 years on my own, and all of a sudden I have two young kids coming in, two very promising ones. So, I do feel a little bit older, shall we say.
But that's great for you, really, because they can push you.
Yeah, it's funny because I've always kind of asked myself the question, what was it going to be like when young kids from my country were going to come on board? But yeah, I mean, first, Peters, the last couple of years, it's actually given me a little kick in the bum to kind of, you know, get back to where I possibly can. And young Dutry has got a great start of his first season as well. So that kind of pushes me a little bit to make sure that I keep my ground some way, to be fair.
Now, Nicolas, who's longer off the tee, you or Peters? You must have a few goes at each other on the golf course there. Come on, who's the longer?
I've got the longer carry, but if we play a very firm and fast golf course, Peters can sometimes have a 40-yard run on his little drive. You know, he hits it up probably a little bit lower than I do. But in and out during the years, it's a close contest.
What about the golf course this week? Is it a favourite of yours?
Yeah, I think I speak on behalf of everyone. Everybody is always like to play here. It maybe favours the players playing right to left a little bit off the tee, but it's always a good test. It's pretty windy today, Monday, so if it keeps on blowing like this, it's one of those courses you have to play right. A little bit of local knowledge helps for the guys that have been playing here for a while, but it's a fantastic place because everything is very close by. The practice facilities are great. There's always a great atmosphere around the putting green, and it's always produced great finales in the tournament. So, I think it's one of them places where players really want to leave a mark on.
And has it been kind to you over the years, the Emirates?
Yeah, on and off. I mean, I've played well here, and some years not so much. So, but like I said, you know, local knowledge plays a little part. You know, I kind of always play the same shots from, you know, year after year. It's been okay. I still feel like I can probably get my hand on it a little better, but it's certainly a course I enjoy to play.
Must be a buzz this week, Nicolas, with Tiger Woods playing as well. What's it like out there with Tiger in the field? And have you played with him in a competitive environment?
I've only played him once, and it turned out all right for me. Different format, of course, we know, but I have. But it's always, first, it's great to have him back. It's great to have him on this side of the world for us. He's come here a few times. He's won the tournament, I think, a couple of times. Yeah, it's always going to be one of those guys. I mean, we know this last week in America where he played, and he gets all the attention to because, you know, he's like our Roger Federer of the modern era. So it's always good to have him back and have a look at what he's doing. wherever is goal at the end of that.
And what about you, Nicholas? How close are you to your best form?
You know what? I feel like throughout my career, I was very close from something pretty big. So I'm trying to get used to it. But yeah, everything is okay. It's always the same. I think a lot of guys in the same case, you know, at the end of the day, like that, you want to kind of get on the roll, do these three events in the desert, or a good way to do that, because they all, the setups of the three courses and three tournaments are pretty much the same. So if you can bring that out on this desert swing, you can somehow build a bit of momentum. But I feel like my game is in decent shape. I've got one of them Catalyst Madeira in the bag, which was great for me, the epic. And it's just always a matter of reading greens, right, and holding a few, and I'll be up there.
You were in my fancy race to Dubai team. I pick six players every week. I picked you last week. You were almost doing me a favour. So I'm going to keep you in this week. Do you think that's a good decision?
Yeah, it could be, but...
I want a bit more. Give me more. Give me more.
Yeah, but we're good friends. You know, you're just being all very sentimental with me now. But, yeah, just keep me in close range or... all year round, and you might score a few points in there.
That's it. That's what I want to hear. I think that course sets up beautifully for you, the Emirates.
Yeah. Like I said, I've always liked it here. It's a great week. So if you're able to translate that on the golf course, you'll never reach too far of doing some damage.
Nicholas, once again, as always, you're very generous with your time. Thank you for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show, and have a great week in Dubai.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak with you, lots, and have a good one.
Great to hear from Nicholas Coltsarts. He's always really good with us with the time that, you know, we ask him for an interview. He comes on and does it no problem at all. What a natural talent.
Yeah, he is, isn't he, Rob? Interested what he said. I'd like to watch him and Peters have a driving contest. But interesting that Nicholas carries it further than Thomas. That's a bit of a surprise. But Nicholas has just got this such a languid, effortless power about him.
He's got the ball flight that hardly anyone's got, and that's quite a low ball flight with carry.
Soren Hansen used to do that. Years ago as well. You said a low flight, carried it a long way.
Yeah.
How they do it, I don't know. But he makes it look very, very easy. And he was on a lot of leaderboards last year, Coltsarts, without finishing it off. I just get the sense that that's grating on a bit.
Something's coming for Robbie. He's in my six. Who else is playing, Jamie?
Well, Danny Willett, the defending champion, he's playing. I think he'll play better this week. He's had a week off last week to work on his game. Apparently it's going well, according to Twitter. Henrik Stenson, strong favourite for me around here, Stenson. Sergio's coming over to play. You've got the likes of Cabrera Bay, who plays well here, won here before. Matthew Fitzpatrick coming back to Dubai after his DP World win. Lee Westwood, Andy Sullivan, Thomas Peters, Junghoon Wang and Tommy Fleetwood have won the last two events. And, of course, Tiger Woods.
What sort of player plays well at the Emirates?
There's a lot of dog legs and there's a lot of carries over the dog legs. I think you've got to pick someone who gives it a bit of a hit off the tee.
Right.
Carry the corners of these holes, especially like the first hole. There's a bunker about 289, something like that, to carry.
Well, if you can't carry it, it's a tough drive.
It's a drive and a six
really
iron.
Tough
if
drive.
If you carry it, it's a drive and a wedge. It's a big difference. And there's three or four holes like that, and the par fives as well, where it just seems to have played a bit softer over the last 5 or 6 years. Dubai.
Second hole, so, you can smash it on.
Yeah, you can. Whereas the short hitters are hitting to the upslope, got no chance of getting there. So, but saying that, you do need a lot of touch around the greens as well. The greens are pretty slopey, so great course. You make a lot of birdies, but you can birdie any hole down there for any player, but you can also make some bogeys. Nine's a great par four.
If the greens are firm around there, it's no giveaway. It becomes a really good golf course.
You're right. If it's soft with very little wind, it's a target golf. You can eat it up. The guys will eat it up. But if they're
firm and fast, because they can get them quick to putt on as well.
I played them when they've been really, really fast, and then it gets fun. I loved it when it was like that. But unlikely it'll be like that.
I know who you're going to pick.
Do you?
Yes.
Go on then.
We discussed it over a cup of coffee before we came and did the show, and you're going to go for Bernd Wiesberger.
No, I'm not. No.
Oh.
I tip him every other time we're in here, but...
Yes.
I had him as my captain in the fantasy team last week, and probably I put the mockers on him, I think. But no, I'm going to be very, very boring.
You're going to Henrik Stenson?
I am, because I just think he's primed for this. He came out a little bit rusty in Abu Dhabi, still did really well.
So you're going for the highest-ranked player in the field?
Sorry.
You're sticking your neck out, aren't you?
No, he's primed. I don't always go for the favourite.
You're some man, Spence.
I think Wang... I'd be interested to see how Wang and Fleetwood go, though, as well. But I think Stenson...
Well, they're obviously both in form, Fleetwood and Wang.
Yeah, and I know Tommy likes it here in Dubai. And Wang... won back-to-back last year, so can he do the same?
Do you know, I was thinking that driving in here, because of the back-to-back last, sometimes you get little clusters, it just happens because it's the way things come together.
Yeah.
What's to stop Wang?
Nothing. He's an unknown.
Except he doesn't know the course.
Yeah, that is true.
It is a local knowledge course.
I think so. I think Nicholas said that on the interview, that it is something that you want to know. Jordan Smith's been playing good golf, a good player as well.
Very impressed with him.
Again, first time around here.
And Nathan Kimsey made three late birdies to make sure he was top 10 to get involved in this week in Dubai. Terrific stuff, really.
A lot of good young talent, Robert, out there. But I do think course form, I think it matters around here. Yeah. You know, got to know how to cut the corners on certain holes. Yeah. There's quite a few blind tee shots.
So you're going for Henrik Stenson.
Henrik Stenson.
And I'm going to counter him. I can't go against him now, can I, after the big build-up? I'm going to have Nicholas Kolsarts.
Well done, Robert.
Yes. Played quite nicely last week inside the top 30.
Course should
with
suit
not
him.
Too
you're
much
right.
happening.
You're right, though. This course should suit him.
Mike Kolsarts versus your Stenson.
So I've no doubt Bern Wiesberger will beat Stenson. That's
10-shot win for Wiesberger. That's what's going to happen now. You've been Wiesberger, and it's going to be a 10-shot win.
Probably.
Unbelievable. That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Omega Dubai Desert Classic and look ahead to the Maybach Championship. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. In a few years' time, that'll be about 20 names long. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Henrik Stenson,
and myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Nicholas Kolsarts, it's goodbye.